Actually, over a base attack of Kinderloch, we're in the middle of the Edden. And there's four guys. There's four guys in the dream of Daniel. Like we said, the Nebuchadnezzar saw a person with four, you know, four different types of metal. The head, the torso, the lower parts, and the feet. And Daniel saw four chayis, and they both referred to the four umais. Edain, Parasamadai, Yavan. I mean, Babel, Parasamadai, Yavan, and Edain. And Nebuchadnezzar saw them in the form of a man. And Daniel saw them in the form of animals. Because for Nebuchadnezzar, this is a man. Babel's a mensch, Parasamadai's a mensch, Yavan's a mensch, and Adam's a mensch. So he saw them with Tzura Sodom. But Daniel saw them in the Tzura Amitis, the Techayis ways. They're animals, they look like people, but they're really animals. So we talked about Yavan. Yavan, they have a Hisnagdus. Hisnagdus means opposition. They have an opposition to Klal Yisrael because they can't have anybody that's in the area of Chachma is above them. In the area, they have to be on top. They have to be the wisest. They have to be, possess all the wisdom and understand things the best. And Klal Yisrael has something that Klal Yisrael can understand and Levanim can't understand. So Klal Yisrael has to go. That's it. That's the way, you know, that's the way you deal with the opposition. You're smarter than me. You can figure out something that I can't. See, I have to be the smartest one here. So you gotta go. Throw you out the window. Or as I say, you throw you under the bus. Okay, that's your butt. I'll throw you under the bus. Now I'm the smartest one. I'm smarter, Dick. Edom is different. I'm talking about Edom. Edom is different. Edom, they also, you know, they made decrees against Klal Yisrael. In fact, the decrees of Edom were very similar to the decrees of Yavan. They were very similar. They made decrees. You can't learn Torah. Yavan made decrees. You can't learn Torah. And they're very similar. The moral says that they might be similar, but they're not the same thing. He said because the Yavanim, the Greeks, made these Xeris, that the purpose of Xeris was not to destroy Klal Yisrael. They very much wanted Klal Yisrael around. They didn't want to destroy Klal Yisrael. They didn't try. So making Xera, they're making Xera so that Klal Yisrael wouldn't be better than them. Right now, of course, there is an aspect of Xera that if you don't listen to the Xera, then you die. Not you die, but you die. But that wasn't their point. Their point was they want to take away what's special to Klal Yisrael. They want to take away the Torah. And if Klal Yisrael has no access to the Torah, because they're no longer permitted to learn it, and they're influenced by the Yavanim to value other things, other wisdoms, besides Torah. So the Yavanim are very happy to have Klal Yisrael around. If Klal Yisrael doesn't cooperate, then the Xera, and the end of the Xera, they would kill, and they did kill. This is Greek culture, and Greek culture is Western culture, and the culture that we're living in now is a direct product of Greek culture. The things that, you know, what's the biggest threat to Torah? The biggest threat to Torah right now is not the threat of extinction, like Xera, like you learn Torah, we're gonna kill you. The biggest threat to Torah now is that there's so many other things that attract us. Torah is not very attractive. It's hard. It's really hard. It's difficult. It's kasha kamavis etnaisa. It's like death. I mean, once you acquire Torah, it's very sweet. But the process of acquiring it is very hard. And you do need, once you've experienced the taste of terror, you've done it once, you know, you worked hard on something, and you felt like you're going to die. But then in the end, it all, you know, it works out, and you got it, you know, you finally got it. So then you can do it again, and you can do it again, and you can do it again. You can die many times over, because it's worth it. It's worth time, it's worth dying for. But the first time that someone learns, they see the death. They don't see the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You don't see it. Very difficult. I mean, this is very much the story of those of us that are sitting around this table. But the first time, you tell someone, just learn. I don't like learning. Just do it. Trust me. It's a certain leap of faith. And the biggest enemy is the terror. It's so hard. It's like death. It's like Kach Kamabas. It's so difficult. And it's so difficult to believe that at the end it's going to be worth it. And on the other hand, you have other things that they're so easy to acquire. And so beautiful and so attractive. It's like no resistance. You just slide right into things. So what's somebody going to pick? That's Yavan. The tzkuf of Yavan was the first time that members of Klal Yisrael became mishumadim, that they embraced the culture of the host nation. There always were Rishayim in Klal Yisrael. From the first day of the Bria, there was a big Averis. But to be a mishumad, to desert your heritage, to desert one's heritage and embrace the heritage of a host culture willingly, there never was until Yavin. Yavin, they were successful. They were successful. They were wildly successful. And it was only the miraculous intervention of the whole Muhammad, the Hashmonaim, and the miracle that brought people back. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here right now. Yavin. And this is Yavin. That's their status to Klal Yisrael. That if we want, we have to be the wisest ones. Wisdom is the most important thing in the world. And our wisdom is the most chashuv wisdom in the world. And if there's a wisdom above it, so we have to get that also. If we can't get it, then you can't have it either. So how do they take it away from the yin? Xeris. They made the crees. My Rebbe said, Ramesha said that in Al Nisim, we say, Lahashkicham Terasecha. They caused us, they made gzeiras that were designed to cause us to forget the Torah. How do you decree that someone should forget Torah? Thou must forget Torah, and if not, I'm going to hang you from the gallows. How do you force someone to forget? Forgetting is either it happens or it doesn't happen. How do you force someone to forget? So it's almost the same he said as he said to the Maral, that forgetting does not mean what we think it means. I mean, there's human forgetfulness. We forget. We remember something and then it fades, the memory fades. But a person doesn't forget things that are ikar to him. You could forget, my God, I remember the first phone number I ever memorized. It's when I was 6 years old, KE95711. Keystone 95711. 539571. Whatever. But yeah, I don't remember all the phone. I don't 216-261-1793. I'm trying to remember. If I remember my number in Cleveland. If I remember my number, I don't remember all the things. It's not important anymore. At the time, I knew it, but it's not important anymore because I don't have that phone anymore. Do I remember the phone number of every cell phone I ever had? I don't remember them. Why not? Because it's not important. When I had it, I would never forget it. Because knowing that number is what connects you to everyone. You know, people need to know what to call, how to call you. You got to give them that number. So things that are ikar to you, things that are essential. So then there is no forgetfulness by it, because you don't forget things that are essential to you. Things that are not important, they're like outside of you. They're external. They're externals. So then it's shaykh to forget. Lashkichim Tarasecha is it your it's not possible to decree, to command someone to forget something. Eskikim Torah Secha is what they tried to do, is to put Torah, to take Torah. Torah is great, Torah is fine, Torah is beautiful, we love Torah. Some of my best friends are Torah, we love Torah. But Torah, you put a Torah in the proper perspective. You know, what are you making this big deal about it? What are you, some kind of racist, that you have the gateway to truth? There's many portals to the truth. Torah is important, but what about Zen Buddhism? What about Zoroastrianism? And what about secular humanism? It's so beautiful. What about love? Love and happiness. It's just pastel colors. It's just beautiful. That they also have a value. Just embrace. Embrace everything. Embrace the great greatness and the great awesomeness and the holiness. And it's also beautiful. So Torah is important. Torah is great. It's beautiful, but don't close yourself up. Look at all these other things out there in the world. Don't be so closed. Don't be so closed. Don't be a caveman. This is, Kavi? And this is, so now what happened to the Torah? The people that buy it. The people that buy it, that buy into it, so then they just move Torah to a different place. Instead of Torah being life, without Torah you're dead. So now it's a nice thing. There's a lot of nice things. I like Torah. I happen to like pistachio ice cream. I really do. I don't know if they make diet pistachio ice cream, because I haven't had it in a while. There's one ice cream store, I can't stand it. They only have one flavor of diet ice cream, coffee. You walk in there, my wife, she orders ice cream for all the kids, she comes back with coffee for me. Went in, don't you have vanilla? No. Chocolate? No. Is this the only diet flavor you have? Yeah. It's But pistachio ice cream, I remember what it was like. It's really good, it's green, it's really good. And then there's Torah! So now it's no longer your life. If it's no longer your life, so it's possible to forget it, because you can forget something. That's Lashkicham Torah Secha. It's a process. Lashkicham Torah Secha is a process of it's a philosophy. It's a world's view that puts Torah in a place that's forgettable. So you can't force someone to forget, but there's other ways of doing it. And that's what they did. But they didn't want to kill them, even though they did kill many Jews, but that wasn't the goal. The goal was the Jews should not have something that's superior to theirs. Edom, on the other hand, it was like quite the mirror image. They weren't interested in influencing the Jews or bringing the Jews down to their level or breaking them away from the Torah. They wanted to be their masters in everything. You know, they wanted to decree. It's an interesting taiva. It's an interesting taiva. We decree, you listen. And everything you do is because of what we command you to do. We want to make exam. We don't like anything about you. They tried to take away the Jews' freedom to act. So there's going to be some common ground between Rome and the Avanari is going to be. What's the tiber behind decreeing? If you decree that someone should jump and stand still at the same minute, are you going to kill them? I'm decreeing that you should jump. I'm going to kill you. I'm decreeing that you should stand still. I'm going to kill you. So what do you really want? You want to kill him, right. So the decree is just a means to an end. They wanted to make the lives of the Jews so restricted that there'd be so many things that they're not allowed to do that it'd be impossible for a Jew not to trip up. So the Romans they respected law. In fact, they are the fathers of the system of law and order. We inherited law. What are they? They created the Senate, which is, I'm sure, a very familiar word to you, senators. There was the Roman Senate and senators. They respected law, and they kept their own laws. They did keep their own laws. But when it was directed towards the Jews, the purpose of their laws was to make it impossible for the Jews to keep the laws. And then they'd be able to kill them according to their law. It's very warped. The law system was made for someone, in a way that was impossible for someone to keep it. It's different than the Yavanim. Yeah?
If America, or any country, were to, like, not necessarily against Judaism, but, like, say, okay, now you, this Jew, is, Chayavisa in Texas would break. Whatever, how they do it in Texas. So, like, I think it's a break. So, actually, like, yeah, you gotta let it come. Or is it only against, like, for whatever reason, they would say, okay, you're actually Chayavisa. Is it for everyone? Not allowed to just Jews, but anyone.
They don't have the right to be mechayev a yid misa. Dina machusadina is mainly in financial areas. So the country went on smoothly. They don't feel they need the right to kill people. They have their own law system. They don't need that. A guy does not have the power over you to paskin out of his chayev misa. He has to go to the entire, he has to go to Besdin. Only Bezel can be Mechayev Misa. They have to go to Bezel. The Geisha courts only have jurisdiction over their own, over Gentiles.
So they can enforce Jewish law.
What?
They can enforce Jewish law. For example, if you had a get,
You're talking about prenuptials. If they are forcing it, then you're in trouble. That get is not valid. There has to be worded in a way that the Bezel are the ones that they're wielding that stick. That's one of the earlier texts, the earlier versions of prenuptial agreements had significant halakha problems because they placed too much power in the state of New York, or in whatever state it was, to enforce it. If a Gentile enforces a get, the get's not valid. I mean, they've made many, many changes to it. I'm talking about the RCA version, to bring it more in line that the power is in the hands of the judges. Maybe certain financial penalties if you don't follow, the judge, the Diana. It's better to stay away from these things, from prenuptials. It is better to avoid them. But Edom, their culture was, it was a culture of decrees, that the purpose of those decrees was to make it impossible to live. And then they kill someone. Listen, they kill someone. They made it forbidden for someone to sneeze, Then someone sneezes and they're killing them by law. They're a lawful society. So by the Jews, that's what they didn't want to bring the Jews down to the level. They wanted to make the life impossible so that they could, in the end, they could ultimately kill them. So Daniel, in his dream, when he saw Rome, when he saw the Romans, he saw a fourth creature, but the fourth creature was not like any other creature. So when he saw the creature of Bavel in Parsimadai, in Yavan, so Bavel was a recognizable beast. Bavel was a lion. Parsimadai was a bear. And Yavan was a namer, like a leopard. A leopard or a cheetah. So they were all recognizable animals. And the nature of the animal matched the culture of the people. But when he saw the fourth beast was a beast that didn't, it was like no beast that anyone had ever seen. It defied identification. It was a beast. the fourth beast was a beast. It says Mishanim Kofiusa. The only description we have, it was different than all the other ones. There's no parallel to this beast. So what does that mean? So we spoke about the three halakim in the person. There's the Kayach Baguf. That's the part of the neshama that actually brings the body to life, even if the body's not doing anything. Just the part of the neshama that brings the body to Kayach Baguf. And then there's the Kayach Nafshi that enables a person to speak, to move, the Kayach Nafshi, they can move around. It's just not just live, but they actually do things. And then there's the Kayach Seichel, the things you do should be intelligent. And he said that these, there's like a disclosure here, that these Kayaches are not separate. Like there's a separate neshama for a living, and a separate neshama for movement and actions, and a separate machshava for thoughts. He said, because then a person would have three neshamas. And we don't have three neshamas. He said that neshamas are not split into three. That's a false concept. Three neshamas. He brings it from the Rambam, that it's one neshama with three natures to it. Neshamas can't be split. It's all one. And he says that it's complex how the three natures, they're connected. There's one chelik. There's one chelik and a shama that connects all three. That the three, it's almost like a tree with three branches. That you have one trunk, and from the trunk grows out three branches. So those three branches are not separate trees. It's one tree. There are three branches that they're coming from one sheirush. So it's the same thing with the chelkei and the shama. You have the kayach shebeguf, you have the kayach nafshi, and you have the kayach sikhli. They're not three separate souls, because they all come out from one neshama. And they're branches of one neshama. So that means that there's a fourth thing. There's the sherish of the Kayach HaSanefesh. There's the sherish of Kayach HaSanefesh. So he talks about this. Somehow this is called, another name for this is the Kayach HaDibur. He says the Kayach HaDibur is a kayach that describes the entire person. It's not prati. It's not a splinter. It's not like a portion, like a chelik of the neshama. It's kolius. Kolius means that it's something, it's the sum of parts that come to a whole. It's a kolistic thing. And he says exactly how it is. He said, because speaking uses the body, it uses the tongue, and the tongue is physical. Speaking, besides the tongue being a physical living thing, but the tongue also moves. It's not just alive. When you speak, so then there has to be it has to move. It's got to do something. Talk is speaking is an action. And what is the tongue expressing? What is the speech expressing? It's expressing sechel. So it means every time a person speaks, he has a physical existence, which is animated, and it reveals wisdom. So where does a person get a kayak to do that? And all three halakim have to work together with each other. in order for speech to be possible. If a person has seichel, but he doesn't have a tongue, he can't speak. If a person has a tongue and he has no seichel, he doesn't have what to speak. So how is it, you know, and they have to work together in order for it to happen. How do three keichas, is this the raya from the Rambam, that if you have three neshamas, three separate neshamas, so speech would not be, we wouldn't be capable of speech, because we have three separate neshamas, so we could only do one thing at a time, we wouldn't be able to do all three at once. If we had three separate neshamas, so we'd be able to think, wouldn't be able to speak. So it's a raya. That is a fourth kayach. So there's the kayach beguf, there's the nefesh, and then there's the kayach sikhli, and then there's a fourth kayach. And that fourth kayach is the kayach adibur. That enables you to do all three at the same time. So that can only be if it's one neshama. Since it's one neshama, so then even though it's three different characters, but they all come from the same thing. So if you're looking at the branches, you see three things. But if you trace it down to the root, you see one thing. So Bavel would be the Kayach HaGuf, and Parsha Madai would be the Kayach HaNefesh. Parsha Madai is Kneged Taiva. Is that the way around?
No, we said up there it just like takes.
It's Kneged Taiva. It's the Guf. The Guf doesn't, we said the Guf doesn't move, it just wants everything to come to it. That was the taxing. Good. Destroy Kali Shal's guff. Of course, Mari wanted to destroy the base of Mikdash.
Tabasa Gufness. Kayach nafshi. Ah, shkayach. At the kayach nafesh is bavel.
Nefesh is bavel.
Yeah, the kayach shabaguf is parzamadai. Sichli, seichel is yavan. And edem is the kayach adibur. That's, you know. And that's why edem is the animal that no one recognizes. Because it's not a bear, and it's not a lion, and it's not a leopard. It's a combination of all of them. So of course no one recognizes it. I remember a maisa that was told to me by the chief rabbi of Moscow. At the time he told it to me, he wasn't the chief rabbi of Moscow, he was a bachur in Tel Yeshiva. And he was my chavusa. He was my lunchtime chavusa. We were lunchtime chavusas. And he told me that someone once came to a rebbe. And the rebbe said, "Who are you?" He said, "My father was this, you know, the Wuchka rebbe." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "My zeli was the Kazatska rebbe." And he says, "Who are you?" He kept on going. So the rebbe says, "I want to tell you a story." Is that there was a lion in the forest that used to eat up all the dogs. So the dogs were afraid to go in the forest. So There was a dog. He decided he's going to go into the forest, and he's going to dress up in the most fearsome costume that he has. So he had a whole bunch of different animal skins, and he made himself a composite. You know, he had like a tiger, which is a tiger, and he had like a, I don't know, like a polar bear. What are scary things?
Snakes.
What?
Tigers.
What?
Snakes.
What's it?
Snakes, horns,
elephants.
Elephant, you know, like anything? Elephant eyes. Mammoths. He dresses up. He's dressing up, and he walks through the forest. The Rebbe's telling him the mice. The Rebbe's saying, and then he's walking through the forest, and all of a sudden he runs into the lion. And the lion says, "Who are you?" He says, "Can't you see? You know, my father was a polar bear." The lion says, "Who are you?" He said, "My grandfather was an elephant." He says, "Who are you?" He said, "My great-grandfather was a shark." The lion says, "It could be true, but you're just a pushy dog." So the Eder, this is the Rav Pinchas Goldschmidt. He told me this years ago, more than 30 years ago. Told me this. I have to tell him. I have to give him a now. Tell him I said it over by Ishia. Give him a now. Anyway, so this is what they saw. They saw these animals. And the Edom, we don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. Right, so the Maral talks about this. About the Kech HaDibur. In this safe in the Sivus Island. It's called Nesivas Eilim. It's a sefer in the Maral. He brings the Gemara Maseches Erechin. The Gemara Erechin is talking about knas. There are certain times when a person pays a knas.
Is this what
that? Daf Tes Vavam and Aleph. An Einis and Mefata. Someone takes a girl against her will. So he has to pay a knas of 50 sela, 50 shekel. It doesn't matter who he took advantage of. The price is the same. It doesn't matter, you know. A dignified woman, a postured woman, he pays 50 shekel. Mezishamra is a husband, falsely accuses his wife of being unfaithful. And then you discover that he was lying. So he has to pay 100 shekel. So for raping a girl, one pays 50 shekel. And for slandering a girl, one pays 100 shekel.
So
the Gemara says, you see that speech, a crime done through speech, is harsher, you know, it's stronger. Strong is more stringent than someone that actually does something. Very strange, you know. Someone that slanders pays 100. If somebody actually commits a crime against a young girl, against the will, he should pay a million, and it's the other way around. Came to Tino, and the Gemara continues. We found so nektam gzardinam she yisrael el lashon hara. The Klai Yisrael, they were tested in the Midbar 10 times. And the last time, which is Pasha Shlach, got them around, that was the last time. That was the final straw. Until that, they were going to go into Yisrael, everything was forgiven. They survived the Chet HaEgel. Now, this is something which we don't always focus on. But we, you know, there are various, Torah publicizes there are various. You know, Kairach, and then the Mis'ainanim, and the Kibbutz HaTaiva, and the Chet HaEgel. But all those are various, all of them, together. They survived. They got up. They picked up the pieces. They did tshuva. And they're on the way to Yisrael. They didn't stop them. They were going to go in. And they're going to go into Yisrael. Everyone's going to go into Yisrael. The one last avera, Lashnar. It ruined everything. Nine Averis didn't stop them. One Averis, the last one, they can't, no, Lashnar, you can't go in. Head to Eagle. Don't worry, you can go in. Kyra? Don't worry. Kyra was... Shenema v'yinasu oisi ze eser pavrim, you tested me 10 times. So you see, you know, the chumrah of the chetalash. So Meryl explains that a person is physical, and the seichel of a person is not the person. The seichel of a person is not the person because a person is not created to be total seichel. A person is created to speak. Person is created to act in a physical world. And in order for the seichel to express itself, the seichel needs an eiver gashmi. It needs a physical organ. And without the physical organ, the seichel cannot express itself. So the whole tzuras adam, if a person would be created with just the seichel would be very frustrated, because there's no point in having a seichel unless you can be megala. Unless you could reveal the seichel. Without an organ, a physical organ, to reveal the seichel, there's no point. What's the point of having wise ideas if you can't express them? And the only way you can express them is through a physical thing. So the physical thing is very important for the seichel. So Tzuras HaAdam is not the mind. Tzuras HaAdam is the Keich HaDibur. Because you have different halakim, and the Keich HaDibur is the only thing that joins everything together. By animals, they don't have diva because they have no seichel. See, that's why Moitzi Shava pays more. Because someone that sins with diva, the entire Tzuras HaAdam was part of the fact. And the husband slandered his wife, so he used his life, he used his ability to act, and he used his mind and his physical body.
So we're punishing him because of him, not because of what
he pays the knas because he gives her the knas.
But how does that
he pays her the knas.
It's his wife.
Yeah, he gives it to her father. She's in, yeah. He gives it to her father. She was Narusa. She was Narusa then. He sinned with every fiber of his being. Some of the sins with every fiber of his being pays more. But if somebody took a woman against her will, so he didn't say anything. At least the act doesn't require speech. He might have said something, but it didn't require speech. So that means even though he did a terrible thing, but there's a chelik of him that he didn't use the chelik adibur. So he didn't use the chelik adibur, so then there's something, you know. It's not as much of a crime. It's from his point of view. From the victim's point of view, it's much worse. I mean, so you'd ask someone, what would they rather have? You know, Lashon Hara said about them, or to be violated? From the victim's point of view, it's much worse. But from the one that did the Avera, there's a difference if someone does an Avera with a portion of himself, or with his total self. He did with the Gantz Adam, with Adam HaShalim. You see, that's why the Jardin was because of Lashon Hara. Because until the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael, no matter how terrible the crimes had been in Yisrael, none of them approached the crime of the Meraglim. They sinned.
Through speech?
They sinned with the power of speech.
Complaining?
You know, I'm just guessing that there's a difference between the Chet HaMeraglim and the Chet HaMesayinim. Because, granted, they're both averus of speech. But the Chet HaMesayinim, there wasn't all that much seichel that was being expressed by the complaints. I mean, it takes seichel in order to speak. But they weren't expressing seichel. They were expressing annoyance. They were expressing. Yeah, but the Chet HaEgel they also spoke. I'm just saying, you have the same question. The Chet HaEgel, they said, Aaron HaKohen said, Chayav L'Shem Machar. By the Slav, they said, Miyakil and Abbasar. So that's not, you know, that's not the only thing. All the Chataim had the Kayach Dibra involved in it. The difference is that the Chet HaMeraglim was a Chet Rishleimus because they built an entire structure with their Dibra. The Dibra was a well thought out monologue that they were trying to create. They created like an edifice to demonstrate in front of the Bnei Israel the reality. They created a false reality. Chazak HaMimenu, that Eretz Yisrael is not the place for us and we can't go there. And you know they used the Kayach HaDibra to construct something. And by the Misayinim, they crashed. So it's not the Shlemus of all the Chalakim. But the Meraglim, it was a counter reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the reality is one way, and we're saying the reality is another way.
So, if the whole Chen Meraglim was also seen as
Where'd you hear that one from? Hi, hey.
Moons and things. Yeah. So
was it okay? Was it good?
It was very good. It was very good, by the way. Okay. I remember enjoying it. What's it called? But isn't like the second time around after you already made up, like kind of worse because you're like, oh, everything's already good now. Then you like Ramzan again, bam, and over. So why is like the Chen Egel? Oh, the Chen Egel, Chen Egel. This Meraglim's like, okay, yeah, the little Meraglim. This is the second time around. This is the second time around. Why this is, forget about the chuppah, this is like after you made up after the
chuppah. Okay, and therefore?
So like, why is this like put down so much? Not put down, but like, Chet Egel is the Chet Egel. That's the one that's drawn up so much, no?
The Chet HaMeraglim and the Chet Egel are not two separate Chetayim. The Chet HaMeraglim was only possible because of the Chet Egel. That's one Chet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hamster. But look at the Meraglim, they believed that Hashem wanted to kill him. We can't go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to get killed.
It was deeper, it was Hashem is the thing.
Yeah, they didn't believe that there's a kasher between them and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Chazak HaMimenu, that the powers in Eretz Canaan are stronger than God. What does that mean? That meant that our relationship with God is not strong enough that God's going to do this for us. They knew that God could do anything. So why did they say that the powers in Eretz Yisrael are stronger than God? It's because they know that they have to be holding a certain level of relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in order for Kadosh Baruch Hu to beat such people. These people are so strong, and we're not holding there. So why do you think they weren't holding there? Because of Chedeiah. A Baal Tshuva has to have the confidence that Hashem loves him even more than before. You did Tshuva, it's over. God loves you. There's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. He loves you. You're holding back. You're holding back from your relationship with God. Then the Chet's still there. The Gzeri was Nechtam on Lashon Hara. Just like Mitzvah Shemra. So the Einish for the Chet HaMeraglim. Yeah, by the Chet HaEgel people also died. What's the difference between the Chet HaEgel and by Kairach people also died, and by the Kibbutz HaTaiva people died.
Everyone died.
And by the Misayinim people died. Everyone died by the Meraglim. You got that right away. Everyone died. It's, you know, we don't have a parallel for that, by the way. It's the only time in the history of the world that every single Jew died. The Chesed Hashem did was he let them die over a period of 40 years. but everyone died. Because a chet that's done with the entire tzuris Adam, the entire kermis Adam, every single part and particle of a person. So then it leads to every single part and particle of the people dying. If some people die and some people survive, that means in Klai Yisrael there's still something that wasn't touched by the chet, so some people survive. But if every single part of Klai Yisrael, the chet filled them up from top to bottom, from head to toe, that there was no part of Klai Yisrael that was empty of chet, so then they can't live. The Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis, Amar Rab Ami Bar Abba, Ma'idik Siv. The Pasuk says, Ir Katan, there's a small city, Ba'nashem Bar Ma'at, not so many people there. Uba Elah Melech Gadol, and a king came, big king, Vesibri Vaisa, and he surrounded it. Uba Elah Metzudim Gadolim, and he built like a salt towers around the city. So he used to build the salt towers so they could shoot down on the people.
How many?
Doesn't say how many. Umatava Ish Mishkin Chacham, and they found one solitary wise man. He was able to save the city with his chachmah. But people forgot the wise man.
So, you're
okay. Yeah. People forgot the wise man. But chachmah ties the chachmah. And the wisdom makes the wise man strong. Me'asar shalitim ha'shahayi b'yir. From 10 rulers during the city. It's a nice story. There was a city, a small city. A big king came to besiege it. They were saved by this wise man. People forgot the wise man. But the wise man was stronger than the 10 rulers in the city. So the Gemara darshan is the pasuk. We're going to start again. Okay? Start again. Yeah. Yiktana v'nashim ba'ma'at. That's a person. A person's a small city. A person's a small city. We're a microcosm. Ubala Melakadon, the big king comes and surrounds it. That's the Yitzhar. We are Podunk, Ohio, wherever you come from. We're Podunk. Podunk's a nice... Do you ever hear of Troutswater, Oregon?
That can't be a place.
Yes, it is. Troutswater, Oregon. About 15 miles east of Portland. Troutswater, Oregon. Troutswater, Oregon. And there's a king, the Yitzhara surrounds a person. So that's a big Uba Allah Malakadla, a big king comes. The Sibu Vesai surrounds it, the Yitzhara. Now what does the Yitzhara do? Uba Allah Mitzvah, then he builds big assault towers. Ela Vinus. Because the avinus that a person does, he does because the Yitzhara influences him. And the person's own averus, they attack the person. The averus of a person actually attack the person. A person, by doing an averus, is creating his own enemies. He's creating enemy forces to turn around and attack him. A person does averus, he creates enemy soldiers that they turn and attack him. And what about Ishmish Ken Chakam? Who's the wise man? That's the Yitzhara. When Malatu was a year, he saved the city with his wisdom. How does the Yitzhak save the city with his wisdom? That means the city already did have errors. Tshuva Maisim Taivim, because the wise man says, okay, you messed up. You're not doomed. Get up, say you're sorry, and go on with life. Fix it up. You broke something, fix it. Just don't sit there crying on the ground. Wise man.
What does that do to the assault towers?
It turns them to your side. Instead of attacking you, they defend you. They turn around. They come around to the other side. But the chokmah is forgot. It's easily forgotten. Why? Because when the Yitzhar is on a person, then all the chokmah goes bye-bye. I mean, people... This is the Gemara. Ish ish kisis to ishtay ein adam chayta elam kein nichlis by ruach dos. That a person is only chayta when he's in a... When he's surrounded by an aura of stupidity. You have very wise people walking around. They have tremendous amount of chokmah. But if they allow themselves to get close to the Yitzhara, So then all the chachma goes bye-bye. It goes bye-bye, all of a sudden the chachma is forgotten. When somebody wants to do something, then they'll justify it. Even the justifications are very illogical. We know this. If someone has a bias towards something, they want to do it. First they want to do it. Why? Because they want to do it. Why do they want to do it? Because they're going to get pleasure out of it. They gain from it. There's some kind of gain. So they decide they want to do it already. And then afterwards, they construct the argument why it's something which is good. Because when somebody wants to do something, then any wisdom to the contrary, it goes bye-bye. It has to go somewhere because I want this. And if there's a little voice that says it's not so wise, no, I want it, so it is wise. Your justification comes afterwards. But chachma tells the chacham. But the chachma is very strong. The tshuva meisim taivim. Tshuva meisim taivim is so strong. It's stronger than 10 rulers in the city. So that means that even though a person could be stupid, and it's the tendency of people to push their wisdom aside when they want something, and therefore they're going to do an avera, but there's hope.
Who are the 10 rulers?
Who are the 10 rulers? The two hands, the two feet, the two eyes, the two ears, the male organ, and the mouth. Ten. Two eyes, ears, hands, feet. And then two more.
Why are there 10 rulers in a small city?
Because there are 10 parts of a person that rule. You rule with your actions, you rule with your sight. And what's the last one? The last of the 10. Last of the 10. The first one is the hands, the second one is the feet, the third one is the eyes, the fourth one is the ears, the fifth one is the bris, and the last one is the mouth. It's the last one. Why is it last in the list? Because the chet of the lashon is the last straw. When somebody has done that, then they're doing a chet in totality, in shleimus, it finishes everything off.
So those 10 are parallel to the 10?
So he says if you work it out, the 10 are various in the midbar, each one is a different body part.
Eyes, ears.